fresh crackers when I'm trying to fake a smile. Yeah, them black coffee when I'm trying to walk a mile. Red velvet cake is when I'm.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the very first episode of It Could Always Be Worse. I'm Jen, and I'm here with my wonderful friend Jess.
Hi.
Hi, Jess. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm really good. I'm so excited that we're finally doing this.
Me too.
We talked about it for so long, and we've just hit record, and I can't believe we're actually doing a podcast.
Totally. It's a long time coming. I'm glad we're making it happen. Feels good.
Yeah, me too. A little background on you know, what we're doing here. I lived overseas for about 10 years and finally came back to the States about 3-4 years ago. And you know that old saying about how you make, you know, your really good friends as an adult with the parents of the children your children go to school with. And that's definitely, I'm finding that to be very true. I feel like I've found my people here, and Jess is one of those wonderful people.
Oh, likewise.
And so in getting to know Jess over the past 3 or 4 years, I couldn't help but notice that she just has this aura of positivity about her. She's always calm, cool, collected. She gives wonderful advice. And I want to have some of that in my life. And I figured our listeners would like to have that as well.
Wow. I am very flattered, and it would be amazing if I could live up to all of that all of the time. So I'm sure my family's listening in and being like, calm, cool, collected. Okay, what happened last night? When, whatever. But thank you so much for seeing me that way. And I really do naturally and also personally try to be that way as much as I can. And I think part of it is just who I am. But at the same time, I do have my struggles and my neuroses and my anxieties. And there are things that trip me up, just like everyone else. But it's about taking those things and the moments that we've learned from feeling our anxiety or having our struggles, finding our lessons within those moments, and then applying them forward, not getting tripped up.
Yeah, I find I do get tripped up quite often. Yeah, I think I was so happy. So I asked you, would you consider doing a podcast? And you said yes. And I was so happy. And I think some of the things that kind of spurred me to think of that idea were just some situations when we were with friends, and maybe a friend would tell us, you know, she felt maybe somebody snubbed her and, you know, she didn't know how to take it. And, you know, the rest of us were all kind of negative and, oh, you know, why would that happen? Why would they do that? And you were so, well, maybe they didn't even see you, or maybe they had something else on their mind. Like, you just had a completely different mindset. And yeah, I just thought I need to be more like that.
Well, thank you. I feel like, you know what? So with stuff like that, I think we often want to take more on than is really necessary. Why should we own someone else's bad moment? Or if someone doesn't see us, why should we make assumptions that it's something personal? Why don't we just, those are things that are so easy to let go of. Just don't even engage in the negative thoughts that can come with it, because we don't know why someone isn't saying hi to us or whatever. How many times do we not see someone else? We wouldn't even know because we're not seeing them.
True. I do that all the time when I'm driving, because I'm such a neurotic driver that I'm so focused on the road. And after I've driven past somebody, I'll notice that they're waving and I feel so bad.
Right. And then you like 5 seconds later, you're like, oh my God, I didn't say hi. I know who that was, but I was thinking about the song on the radio or whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I've just been observing you and thinking, gosh, you know, how does she do this? Like, is this just a natural thing that comes to her? But you've just said that you know, you try and work on it. So what ways, you know, what do you do to try and work on being more kind of present and in the moment?
Okay, so, well, part of it is naturally at the core of who I am. That is how I am. Though, like everyone else, there's a million and one distractions that can get in the way. So how do I find that grounding and that part of me. Being present, that's something that I feel like if you look at a young child, that is not something they're struggling with. That is who they are, right? We all are put here able to do that. It's over time, all the layers of the different noise and the stresses and the distractions and all the things that we can have muddled up in our head get in the way of us actually being who we truly are. So it's trying to find our way back to that. I actually find being a mother has been so enlightening for me, because when I had my babies and I was watching them, I was remembering, whoa, this is how we all start. This is how we all are. It's so natural for them. They know exactly what they want when they want it. There's no other thing getting in the way of being like, well, maybe I don't want that. What happens if that's the wrong choice? And I spent a lot of time thinking about that and trying to get myself back there. I forget your question, actually.
I just was wondering if it was something that you do consciously, and you've said you try and you work on it.
Sure.
It's kind of getting back to that, as they like to coin it, what the authentic self,
Exactly.
As you're saying, little babies, little kids, they're just living in the moment. They don't know anything different. They don't have all the layers of worries and, all the things that we think about now.
Old people too, really old people too. So then I'm like, you know what? It's kind of exhausting putting all those extra layers in.
Oh, it is, but sometimes they're necessary.
I don't think they're ever really that necessary. I think it's just hard to undo our habits.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
So I guess I spend time trying to undo that, and I guess it works.
I think it does, absolutely. So, how do you work on it? What do you do? Are you meditating? Are you writing in a journal? Are you, what kind of things do you do to kind of get you into that, basic mode of being authentic and not worrying about all these other extra layers?
Well, so a lot of that is also just learning from other times where maybe things were harder for me. I just find it easier. Okay, for example, when I first met my husband, our first date, I just put it all out there of anything that could possibly make him uninterested down the road. Here's some things about me. Maybe you like it, maybe you don't, but I don't want to waste anyone's time. So if you're interested, you can be interested. If not, I don't put on the airs, right? I'm not pretending to be someone I'm not, because that ultimately is wasting my time, their time, everyone's time. In the case of meeting my husband, he found it very refreshing. And so he wanted to get to know me more, and he appreciated my forthcoming attitude. With my friends, I think it's similar. People like me because I'm not changing who I am the next time they see me. If I go to my high school reunion, people I haven't seen in 20 years say, oh my gosh, you're the same person. I like to think I've evolved, but at the core of me, I am the same. So that's, I don't know. I just find it easier to be that way. It's kind of hard to pretend something. Then you have to keep up with the charade you put on, because if I'm acting like this with one person and like that with the other person, maybe I'm just not smart enough to keep track of all the storylines. I get confused. Like, I need to just be this, because it's a lot easier than being someone else.
That's true. It's very simplifies life. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I think, as we become parents and, so early on in life, you have your version of yourself that is your authentic self. And then, of course, parenthood, kind of upends all of that. And I feel like, I don't know about you, but for me, I feel like I'm kind of just getting back to figuring out, who I am other than just being a mother, which, of course, is the greatest job I've ever had in my life. It's incredible. But I forgot about all those other parts of myself. And now that the kids are getting older, it's nice to kind of think about that again, like who am I? What do I want to do? What's my core? What are my core beliefs and my core values? Because, of course, you want those to reflect in your children as well.
And that must feel so good. It's like picking up a favorite old book or finding an old friend. And then what's interesting is when you re-find, oh my gosh, I forgot this about myself. I love this. I love doing this. I haven't done this in so long. Or I haven't heard this song in so long. Things like that, when you remember pieces of you and they reemerge. But then you realize there's all this other stuff that you picked up along the way between the last time you were in touch with that piece of you and who you are now. And you could bring all of that to that. It feels really great.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully all those things are additive to, you know, what was good before. You're just, building on that. Unfortunately,
even the not great parts, those are just lessons.
Well, that's what I was going
to
say.
And only bring that with you. You don't need to bring the baggage of the negative piece of it.
I think, unfortunately for me, I've always had that kind of anxious component, anxiety, worry, even from a very young age. So I think that also clouds my judgment sometimes, in the example of, a friend who thinks they've been snubbed by someone, that I'll be, oh my gosh, they don't like me, or I did something, that's where my mind goes immediately, rather than your way where you're thinking, oh, you just don't know what's going on with that person. It's not my issue. I mean, that's the kind of thing that I want to try and do more of.
Okay, you could definitely get there, because I will tell you, I'm not shy of neuroses and anxieties. And that's why I need to keep it so simple, because I could let it get so catastrophic and overwhelming otherwise.
Yeah. So what kind of things do you do to kind of help yourself stay in that mode? Are there... You do yoga? Do you meditate?
Sure. So yeah, we could do those checklists. I do actually believe in, I do believe that keeping physically active helps me so much. I'm like ADHD. I'm a hyper person, so I need to do that. So exercise, fresh air, time outdoors, time in nature grounds me. Yes. Meditation is helpful. I think people get really overwhelmed by the idea of starting a meditation practice if they are not already doing one. So we can discuss that another time, because I think the word intimidates some people, and it really doesn't have to be anything more than just finding space between breaths at teeny, teeny fragments of seconds at a time. And everyone could start with very realistic goals for themselves if that's something they want to achieve. What else? Yeah, I do enjoy yoga, but I think it's important people have a moment to themselves, find time every day to kind of just process the day a little bit. And I'm talking about time not on the phone or, reading some kind of information. We're bombarded too much. I'm talking about put down the phone and take a walk around the block, even if it's a 2-minute walk. Just do something.
Yeah, just to focus on you and how you're actually feeling, rather than
yes.
having all these other indicators firing at you.
Yes.
That can be misleading sometimes.
100%. So you know to do that.
Yeah, I know to do that, but do I do that?
So
not very often.
So just do it. You deserve it.
Yeah, that's true. And I also think, part of the way that you are, you also have a lot of empathy for other people, and you're acknowledging that maybe something, someone's going through something that we don't know anything about. It's not our job to take it on, but you have that consideration for people as well, which I think, our world definitely needs a lot more of that.
Wow. Thank you. You know what though, there's sometimes, that's something I like take on people's feelings too much, and so sometimes I think I come off maybe aloof or to someone who doesn't know me very well, like disinterested or whatever, but it's because I do actually take on so many feelings of everything around me, and and I have to have certain, I've learned over time that I have to have certain boundaries and be really selective where I throw my weight of my heart, I guess I could say.
Yeah. Oh, I could see that. Definitely. Well, when you have that kind of empathy for people, it's hard not to take everyone's feelings and emotions on. But the lucky few that you do really benefit from it. So,
thank you. I could say the same about you.
Oh, thank you. So nice. So I think over the course of the podcast, we're going to talk about lots of things that contribute to this, you know, simple life, feeling positive, feeling good, you know, all those things. We could talk about sleep. We can talk about exercise. We can talk about foods, diet.
Love it.
What kind of things do you want to cover on here?
Those are all great. We could also talk about habits. We could talk about all of our favorite things, the things that make us feel good. We could talk about anything.
Yeah. So what things do you love? So our listeners can get to know us a little bit better. What are your favorite things?
My dog.
Oh, yes.
I love the simple things. That's really the truth of it. When we moved here from the city, we were in the city a really long time. The number one thing that drew me here was the nature, the beauty, the ability to just be outside. That actually brings me more peace and comfort than anything. Finding the still, finding the quiet. It's been really helpful for me. I was so anxious all the time in New York. I just was. I woke up one morning and I'm like, why am I doing this to myself? Can we please leave? I am not supposed to feel this way every day. And so when we moved here, I was so grateful for the calm and the beauty, and it smelled so good. Everything about it here, I loved it. And I promised myself then and there that I would not forget how grateful I was to be here and all of the things that I loved about first coming here. Because once you're somewhere for a long time, it's so easy for you to forget all of that. But I promised myself every day I will look at the water. Every day I will wake up happy to be here. And I'm glad I promised that to myself, because I think I could have forgotten. By now, it's this, what was once eye candy can become what I just look at every day. But I want it to always be fresh for me, and the seasons keep it that way.
Yes, the seasons, that definitely helps. Mm-hmm. I after living in Asia for so long, where there really aren't, I guess there's two seasons, boiling hot and a little bit cold, but not really. So being here, I love fall. I love spring. I love winter. I love all the seasons, and it's just so nice. So it definitely keeps things fresh here. And you're absolutely right. I mean, I'm still on the fence as to whether or not I'm a city person or, a burbs person. I love being here. I love having more space. I do miss a little bit of the hustle and bustle of the city, but not all the other, you know, unpleasant things that happen in the city.
Oh, sure.
And I remember you saying something about, you know, just when you wake up in the morning, you know, seeing the sunlight peeping through. I mean, here it is so nice to hear the birds chirping. And yeah, there is a certain lovely smell in the springtime. And those things to focus on when you wake up, instead of thinking, oh, God, I've got to get up now. Those things happening, we should be so grateful and happy for. And I am, and I try to remind myself of that. But, you know, it doesn't happen every morning. But I'd like to try to do better there.
Okay. So that could be a goal.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I have a lot of goals. My list is long. I guess number one, I want to be a great parent, and I want my daughter to have this calm feeling of, you know, sense of self and be happy. So, I'm excited to explore all these different subjects here.
Oh, for sure. And that's all any of us really want, is our children to be happy and thriving. And also, yes, a big part of me is also very much a city person. I think culturally, and I mean, that's the core of who I am. But I don't have to be in such absolute terms of I'm this or I'm that. There are pieces of me that are this, pieces of me that are that. I have friends that are like this, friends that are like that. So we don't need to box ourselves in.
That's true. We don't need to label ourselves. Yeah. We can be lots of different things, which is great. It's a very good place to be in.
Yes.
Well, what do you think we should do next time? Should we talk about some habits? Or
I love that idea.
Yeah.
The good and the bad.
The good and the bad. Well, I've got a lot of bad ones and not many good ones. So I'll think about what I want to work on, and we can talk about that next time.
For sure. And habits can be both. So
That's true. Old habits die hard though, right? Don't they say? Well, I'm really glad that we're doing this, and I'm excited for next time. So until then, it could always be worse.
It certainly can.
This podcast is for entertainment purposes only. While we hope you find our conversations insightful and uplifting, please be sure to seek the help of a qualified professional if you are struggling in any way.